It's time to celebrate. Set sail with the Kim Pagano Show and Princess Cruises on a weekend getaway sailing September 17th through 21st. Don't miss your chance to relax, unwind, and come back new. With rates starting at just $449, you don't want to miss out on this amazing deal that includes meals, entertainment, and accommodations. Contact Nikki Baldwin today to reserve your room. 805-312-4449. Again, that's 805-312-4449. Terms and restrictions apply. Ships of British and Bermudan Registry.
CST number 1005430-10.
When it comes to traditions, Somas Nut House comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nut House is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nut House, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nut House at 1-800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right. Everyone needs nuts in their life.
Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. We bring the wholesale directly to the public. Call us today, 805-604-1568, or visit us online at www.surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA will help make your dream home a reality.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the brighter side of your day and starting your day in a positive way. It's the brighter side of life, the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, I do want to remind you, this is our second hour. We are here from 6 to 7 and then 7 to 8 and then again from 2 to 3. And all of our shows, if you miss any of our shows, you can always listen on KimPaganoShow.com. They're all posted there. Also, I do want to remind you of our newsletters so that you can know everything that is happening around the 805, and anything that we're going to be talking about on our show is there. So if you would love to get one of those every week in your email, give us a call. I do want to give out our phone number again here, 419-0008, 419-0008. That is the number that's going to get you all these amazing gifts that we're going to be giving away, and that's what we love to do, is give back. So our first guest this morning is Eric Odom and Lily Nixay, and they are the lead actors in The Last Train to Nibrok, and that is over at the Rubicon Theater, one of my favorite. I love it. It's just so, it's an amazing acts there and just amazing people. They get, it's just kind of quaint there, so it's very cool. So welcome, both of you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Absolutely. Then we're also going to talk with Pamela Blair, and we're going to be talking about her book, Getting Older, Better. And so again, 419-0008, 419-0008, because that is the number that we do something a little bit different than all the other shows. We take all of our callers and you're entered in. And so don't feel, make sure you call. Make sure you call and don't give up. So, Tom, talk about all the giveaways that we have.
Lots of great prizes. A $25 Mission Oaks Cafe certificate along with a Lazy Dog certificate for $25. Paul Martin's also at $25, Kim. How about the Paseo Camarillo Cinemas presenting Laugh Out Loud comedy from our friend Jason Love, great local comic. California Strawberry Festival is coming to town from May 16th and 17th. Kim has tickets to that. A pair of VIP chocolate lounge tickets to Champagne on Main. That's a spring wine walk and street fair that's happening Saturday, April 18th. Along with all of that, the 40th annual Caneo Valley Home Remodeling and Gourmet Food Truck event is happening on the 18th and 19th of April. Rotary Clubs of Thousand Oaks, Caneo Valley together presenting the 39th annual Chili Cook-Off and Classic Car Show. That's Saturday, April 25th. Caneo Valley Days is happening May 7th and 10th through the 10th. Caneo Valley Days is at the Caneo Creek Park in Tio. Lots of fun at Jan's. And the 23 Cabrillo Music Theater is presenting Mary Poppins, and that's great for the whole family. And finally, Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, Amazing Automobiles, the Ultimate Car Exhibition. And we have that tickets there all the way up until May 1st.
There you go. Thank you so much, Tom. You always do a great job on that. In fact, I want to just start it off with one pair of VIP chocolate lounge tickets to the Champagne on Main. And yeah, it's a spring wine walk and street fair. And that's Saturday, April 18th. And the street fair, actually, the hours start from 10 to 5. It's a wine walk hours. And then 1:30 to 4:30. And the event will take place in beautiful downtown. And why I have you on here, we've also got Rubicon tickets. So we're going to start our show right now with Eric and Lily, and they're actually the lead actors of The Last Train to Nebraska. So yeah, again, 419-0008, 419-0008. We want to hear from all of you out there. And again, you have tuned into The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, I live down in Los Angeles, had the chance to come up here and do the show at the Rubicon, and never really spent a lot of time up in Ventura before, and just
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's beautiful. No, I was joking with a friend of mine. It's like the hotel where I'm staying is 2 minutes from the beach, and then you go inland, it's all farmland. And then I was at the Pierpont Racquet Club the other day, and I heard a train whistle go off, and
Isn't that crazy?
It's like a Nicholas Sparks novel here. It's really it's everything.
That.
It's amazing.
That's great. Lily, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I actually have a lot of family in Ventura, so I spend a lot of time up here. I love the area. It's beautiful. My grandparents have lived here for 50 years.
Wow.
So I love Ventura. But I've never worked at the Rubicon, which is
really
exciting.
What do you guys think? Isn't it pretty amazing, the people there?
It's a great space. Fantastic. Everybody is really wonderful to work with. It's been an amazing experience so far. Everyone is really talented and passionate and involved. It's a really great environment.
Yeah, you could. I mean, there. It's a great show place. So tell me a little bit about Last Train to Nebraska. When does it start?
So it starts in December 1940, and we're on a eastbound train heading back from Los Angeles to New York. I'm heading to New York. You're going back to Kentucky, Lily.
And sure am.
Yeah. And we meet, and we're both 21 years old, and there's little sparks flying, and then over the course of the next 3 years, over three scenes, we see the evolution of this relationship.
Ah, so it's a love affair?
It is.
It is, and I think we see in scene one that both May and Raleigh have kind of difficult lives that they've left in California, and they're really in a place of transition, but they meet each other and they find that instant connection, and there's so much hope and possibility, but unfortunately life gets in the way a little bit.
Life happens. Exactly. I say that all the time on our show here. Life happens, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, as much as it's about love, it's about growing up. Mm-hmm. And so these two...
Is there hard knocks of life?
Life hits them.
It's a difficult time during World War II. I mean, it's very emotionally difficult for both of them in different ways. May's brother is off in the war, and that's causing a lot of problems with her family. And Raleigh has had to be discharged from the military for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. And so... they find that they really need each other even more through this difficult time.
You're both so young, okay? How long have you been doing this?
I'll let you take that one first.
I actually kind of grew up in the industry. I started acting from a very young age. I was on a show called Boy Meets World And
yeah,
we
you
know
were.
That one.
Yeah,
yeah boy.
You
okay, there you
we
go. We filmed
love
the pilot
show.
When I was 4 years old.
Really?
So I started young.
Is your parents in the industry or did it just
happen? Yes, my father is a producer, and so it was very much something that I was aware of from a very young age. And I wanted to be involved, and I loved it, and it was just something I've always was passionate about.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have an older brother, and he started acting first, which is what got me into it. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be like him.
So is he still in it?
No, he works at YouTube. He's a very talented
computer. Oh, wow. So that's a different kind of TV,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wow,
exactly.
That's cool. Yeah. How about you, Eric?
I got a little bit of a later start. So my dad was in the Army. So I was an Army kid, so moved around a lot as a kid, and then moved out to Los Angeles in 2009. And I've been doing it since then. About a year after I moved out to L.A., I got a part as a vampire in the last Twilight movie. So I played a vampire.
Oh, in Twilight. Okay. Another popular. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was a vampire in the last Twilight movie, and that kicked things off. And since then, it's been a mixture of, you know, film, television, and then trying to get back on stage as much as possible just because I love theater. And
how does theater run in with TV? I mean, would that be something that you would recommend people to do if they wanted to be in TV?
I think theater is so essential, especially as to develop your skills as an actor. There's nothing like theater. You have the immediate connection with the audience.
Absolutely.
And it changes every night. You really have to play with your partner and with the environment. You don't get a chance to do it over in another take right there, so you have to play with what happens in real life. I think it's a very important training ground.
Yeah, it's the closest thing you have to an actor's medium, because with film and television, because the budgets are so much bigger and there's so much other stuff going on, there's the element of the cinematography, there's sound, there's all these other things that are external that can take the focus away from the performance. And if you don't already have the chops developed through theater, mm-hmm. or through acting or experience on set, it can be very disorienting, because you'll have a mic pack on your waist, you'll have a camera 6 inches from your face, and if you're not able to navigate all that and stay very focused on what the scene is, it detracts from the performance. So,
wow, what an interesting. So what are some of the things that you did when you were just learning to get that? Because do you ever get stage fright?
I think
a little bit. I think if the nerves went away, I would be more worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I wasn't nervous.
So that means you're trying to do your best job, is it right, what you're saying? Because, I mean, I know I've been doing this for 6 years, and there's a point in time that you kind of go, oh, another show. And then you kind of go, you know what? I know who I am. I'm going to walk through this. But, you know,
I think it definitely, it definitely changes. It's one of those things where what you used to worry about, you don't worry about as much anymore. But then a whole new set of problems emerge once you have a certain level of experience. And so you start caring about different things, and you're kind of moving down the track, and they become more sophisticated problems, hopefully. But yeah,
I love it. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, thank you so much for being here. I do want to remind you of our 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we're talking with Eric Odom and Lily Nixay, and we're talking about the Rubicon, one of my favorite places. I love going there. You can always count on it, you know, being a great show.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Last Train to Nybrock. And do you look at the audience when you're out there, or do you not see anybody? Are you told to kind of like, I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well,
it's a smaller space. It's a very intimate space, which I find very helpful in a way, especially for this production, because it is such an intimate story. So I think it's a perfect setting to involve the audience in this. We don't look specifically at audience members, but we do look out in the fourth wall. So
just eye contact with someone in the second row all the time. No, there is an awareness of them. And what helps is, because it is such a shared experience, there's such an immediacy to theater and an intimacy to it, that whatever's happening on stage, you always get an extra bump in either the stakes or whatever it is from the audience being there and being a part of it. There's an old saying that they're the last cast member, and the show can't really start until the audience.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Until the audience comes to the theater, you don't have a show.
And if there's ever a point where maybe you make a, you know, a mistake or something, do you guys kind of lift each other up like a teeter-totter? Is that how it works?
Definitely.
Well, especially with this show, too, because it's just the two of us on stage the whole time.
How scary is that?
I find it really exciting, actually. Yeah. I think we have a really great chemistry and teamwork.
Yeah, it would be scarier if it wasn't Lily.
Yeah.
It would be scarier if
it was
someone
else. Did you
guys
know each other before this?
No, we didn't.
We didn't. I knew of her from Boy Meets World, but I didn't.
So how do you get nominated, or how do you get asked to be in a play like this, or do you try out?
Yes, we auditioned. We both auditioned.
Now, we do a fair amount of theater down in L.A. and in the area. And so there was I came from just doing a show down at the Blank Theater in Los Angeles, the L.A. premiere of a 2012 Pulitzer Prize finalist, Sons of the Prophet. So I was doing a show down there, and the artistic director of that theater is friends with Carolyn Burns and Stephanie Coltrane here at the Rubicon. So there's an awareness. It's a very small community where you continue to work and see the same people over and over again. So it's fun because, you know, I knew of the Rubicon before and I was aware of it, but I had never done a show here. So coming in and having a chance to read for, you know, audition for them. And
it's very exciting.
Yeah. How many people audition?
Depends from show to show. I think they saw a fair amount of people for this show because it's only a two-person cast.
Yeah.
So it's tough because a lot of people try to audition for the show, but they only have a limited amount of time to see people. Mm-hmm. So it's another one of those things of you have to always continue to be creating a body of work so that people know your work beforehand because there's a lot of people who wanted to audition for this show that they just don't have time to see everybody.
Oh, so it's kind of like they've already seen you. They already know, he's going to be really good and she's in.
It's like a filtering process before they even get to the audition.
How long are you out here? How long is the show playing?
It runs from April 18th until May 10th.
So that's kind of a little bit of time, right? Does that take you away from your family? Do you have a girlfriend?
I am single as of now. But my family's all back in Virginia. So it was one of the good things about being a military kid growing up is you learn how to say goodbye a lot. And I would move around every 2 years and would always say goodbye to my friends. And so moving out to LA, I was able to adjust. And when I was, you know, when I was working on Twilight, I was in Louisiana for 3 months and then up in Vancouver for a month. And you learn how to stay in touch with people other than directly seeing them. So,
wow. I mean, that really kind of says a lot about your personality of who you are inside. And so you kind of are your own best friend, your own person, right? And the people that you work with, you tend to get close with and that becomes your family. And then you move on again, kind of like what you've already done in your life, right?
It's summer camp, you know. It's like every job you have, you go, you have fun. And hopefully, I mean, you make one or two relationships that carry forward and then you stay friends with those people and your group of friends just gets bigger and bigger.
So. Is this your passion?
I love it.
Love it. Yeah, you could totally tell. You could feel it. How about you, Lily? Is this your passion?
Acting is something that I've always wanted to do.
Does it come easy to you?
Well, I think it's something that I think about a lot and I work on a lot. So I want to put in the time and the energy and discover new things and work on new projects.
How do you work on yourself to do this? I mean, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of like Toastmasters talking in front of groups or anything like that. Do you have a mentor? Do you have coaches?
Yeah, you know, I've found that I've been lucky in that I've found certain people at different times in my life that fit kind of where I am. And it's a continual process. It's getting to know yourself better and better, and it's continuing to work and
to try new things and to try new roles that challenge you and to try and expand your skill set every time.
And to be in touch with how you're changing, because who you are today or who I am today is not who I was a year ago and is not who I was as an actor a year ago or as a person. So maintaining a sensitivity to the rhythm of life and how everything shifts around, it allows you to stay very there.
Eric, who was your inspiration to start acting?
I saw a movie when I was, I think, maybe 12 or 13 called Requiem for a Dream. It was a Darren Aronofsky movie. And Ellen Burstyn she played a widowed older mother in the in the film, and her performance just blew me away. And I remember seeing it and going, I want to do that. I want to do that. And then I put it on hold for a while and just couldn't get it out of my head, and I've seen the movie probably 1,000 times since. Mm-hmm. But it's the one that I keep circling around to, and she's a brilliant actress.
What did your parents think about when you wanted to do this?
Oh, that's a loaded
question. Yeah, I figured it really is, yeah.
That was, well, it was funny. My mom was always very supportive, big, big, big movie fan. And then my dad, well, he never pushed me to go into the military. I think he worried about me like any good dad does and wanted me
get
to
do
something.
Get a real job, right?
Yeah. he wanted me to do something a little more stable. But I'll tell you, as soon as Twilight happened and I started working a little bit and making a living doing it.
He was like, okay, we're good.
He was like, send me the contracts. I want to see what they look like, and I want to have it. He wanted to be my attorney. So it's funny.
That's awesome.
He was just worried about me.
Of course. That's great. Yeah. Do they come and see your performances?
They do when they're out here. My dad's out here a couple times a year for business. He runs a karate school now.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so he comes out for business out in L.A. And then my mom is actually coming out. Her birthday is on the 22nd, and she's going to see the show that night.
So
right after opening
weekend. Flowers, you know.
It's a romance, too. It's so right up her alley.
Okay,
like it's a sweet
cool.
spot.
Perfect. Oh, I love it. Lily, obviously, this is a given from your family of kind of like where you are. Was your mom involved in this, too?
Oh, in the industry? Yes, she worked in costuming and in early sort of computer graphics, which was really exciting. So it's definitely something that I was involved with for a long time. I did take a step away from acting during high school. I decided to focus more on my education, and I moved to Scotland.
Wow.
And I went to a high school in the Highlands of Scotland, and then I stayed in Scotland for college. I went to the University of St. Andrews. I studied Latin and Ancient Greek, which was definitely a step away from acting, but it's
what
funny
took
now
you
that,
there? Why did you do that? Just as an investment in yourself?
Yes,
or?
And it was something that I wanted something that was very, very different from L.A. Growing up in L.A. in the industry, it's very much, you know, what it is. It's driving around, it's auditions and school, and that's kind of it. And my boarding school in Scotland was, we learned how to hike mountains and sail, and we traveled the world, and it was a really wonderful experience. I'm so glad I had the chance to do that.
You both seem so well-rounded, and I love it. I mean, so full of life and so diverse in so many areas. I love that about you.
Ventura
Thank
does
you.
That.
No, I think it's your journey of how you are. Where, if you were going to take your journey into, you know, see yourself, I don't know, what's your next goals?
It's interesting. I've talked to certain people about that, because there's always, you know, middle of May rolls around and then this play ends, and it's always what's next, what's next, what's next. Mm-hmm. I've always found I wouldn't do anything different than what I'm doing right now, and just whatever comes along. You know, I have a book project that I'm working on with a writer friend of mine. It's a romance. I love romance. I love the idea of love, and I love finding the idea of finding your truest self with another. So I'm working on a book right now, and that hopefully will turn into a movie as well.
Do you feel like you know yourself?
Today? I do, yeah. I feel like I have a pretty good sense of who I am.
Being an actor, sometimes we can, you know, fake it till we make it kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But then there's that point where you really, like, are authentic with who you really are. I mean, and you guys.
I think it's when a real switch happens, and it's hard because L.A. really discourages that. So it's tough, you know. You did an amazing job with it, like as growing up and being a kid. But I moved out a little bit later, and I don't know what I would have done if I had moved out younger, because L.A. a lot of it kind of discourages you from being yourself, and it's all this idea of being a finished product and being this thing, and you're already there, and you're very polished, and you're this. And when you really think about just settling into who you are, and that's enough, and that's okay.
And I think that's actually the ultimate, most important tool you have as an actor, really knowing yourself and really understanding what triggers you, because you need to use that to bring it to your work.
Because it's not truthful otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And, right. And being really authentic and feeling the part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and finding and taking parts of yourself and integrating that into the character and finding kind of the fusion between who you are, who the character is, and being as respectful and truthful to the writing as possible and to the author or the playwright. But, yeah, finding that intersection of yourself and the character.
I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us. Wow. So I love talking to both of you. I really do. I can't wait to see it. The Last Train to Nybrock. That's over at the Rubicon. We've got tickets 419-0008, 419-0008. I know that The Last Train to Nybrock is set during the World War II, right? Mm-hmm. How does the story have relevance today?
Well, I think World War II, for our characters, really was an emotional time. It was very difficult. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and I think that our characters discover through their emotional turmoil that they need each other even more. And I think that always has relevance in terms of conflicts always happen. There's always stuff that comes up in life that throws you for a loop, and you need to readjust and reevaluate your situation. And what May and Raleigh realize is that they can't let that push them away from each other. They need that to bring them together. And ultimately, that's what they realize in the end.
Yeah, and I think World War II was a time where the country was really growing up, and the whole show is about growing up. You know, it starts in there in their very early 20s, and by the time the show ends, they're going into their mid-20s, which is by no means old, but getting older. And they're very headstrong at the beginning of the play, and they think that they have it figured out, like we all do when we're young.
They have very set ideas of what the world is.
We know exactly what it is, and this is how we're going to get what we want. It's going to happen exactly on these terms. Mm-hmm. And then as life starts batting them around, they find that their anchor is this other person. You know, even if they're not aware of it, they keep getting pulled back to each other.
Yeah.
And it's a really romantic journey.
And I think they find in each other a sort of a challenge to their own worldview. Mm-hmm. And they find within each other a challenge to be a better person.
Yeah. Do you feel that some of the themes lend to love and forgiveness?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And forgiveness of the other person and forgiveness of yourself.
Yourself, too. You know? I think May is she's very determined. She's very passionate. She feels very strongly about a lot of things, but sometimes that can work against her. And I think that a lot of her journey is learning to understand that she can be wrong and ask forgiveness for that.
And it's okay to be wrong and not know everything. And she's such a realist at the start of the play, and Raleigh's such an idealist. And so they start on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And over the course of the play, you see them moving closer together, closer together,
really?
And then weaving.
We end up in
and that's kind of how a relationship is, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of stand on your own ground, and then you kind of feel a little more comfortable, and then you stand on your own ground, right?
Well, and a lot of times you need the one person who's grounded to hold the other person who's floating away.
Exactly.
And so May is definitely keeping Raleigh's feet on the ground because his head is in the clouds most
Eric,
of the time.
Talk a little bit about the two writers the coffins are on the train.
Yeah, so this is actually an interesting thing that Arlene Hutton, the playwright, the play is a combination of real events, folklore, and stories having to do with her parents and her grandparents and how they met. And one of the stories was that on a train going eastbound from Los Angeles were the coffins containing the bodies of F. Scott Fitzgerald and Nathaniel West, who died very close to each other. And so for Raleigh, his goal, he came from such a rough childhood in Woodbine, Kentucky, you know, a very poor family. And so his whole thing at the beginning of the play is he wants to get away from there. And so he thought, oh, I'd join the military and I would go over to Europe and be able to travel to Paris and London and all these other places. And when he's discharged for having some seizures, he can't fly anymore. He decides right away, he's on this train. He finds out these two writers are on the train. He's going to move to New York City and become a writer. And so, I mean, these two are his idols, you know, and he's read so much of F. Scott Fitzgerald and so much of Nathaniel West that, I mean, even in the first scene, he's waxing poetic to May. It's like, I know them. I've read everything they've written. I know them better than they know themselves. And I'm going to New York. I'm going to be just like them.
Which is so exciting for May to see someone who's so passionate and inspired and intellectual and driven.
Yeah,
it's I love it. You have totally. I can't wait to go see it. I want all of our listeners out there to go see it. Last Train to Nybrock, and both of you, Lily and Eric. What a pleasure!
Well, thank you so much.
I'm so excited to watch your journey because I know you guys are going places. Again, give the dates when it's going to be: April 15th to May 10th. Correct.
Yep. April 15th. Yep. Preview start. Opening night is on the 18th, and we run through May 10th. Yeah, 7 days a week.
We talk backs on Wednesdays.
Oh, there you go. All right, we've got tickets for you: 419-0008, 419-0008. If you don't get them here, you can go to RubiconTheater.org. Or call 805-667-2900. I'm going to be out there. I can't wait to see you guys.
I can't wait to have you. Thank you so much for having us.
You are so welcome. We are going to take a really quick break. We're going to talk with Pamela Blair. We're going to talk about getting older better, the best advice ever on money, health, creativity, sex, work, retirement, and more. So stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Running behind the time, just like this train, shaking into town with the brakes complaining.
When it comes to traditions, Somas Nut House comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nut House is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nut House, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nut House at 1-800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right. Everyone needs nuts in their life.
Duval Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Hi, Allison Ross here from the Center for Eating Recovery to tell you the real reason why your last weight loss attempt didn't work. Diets offer food advice but leave us to battle overwhelming food cravings that sabotage the effort. We help you to break free from the vicious yo-yo dieting cycle. As a psychotherapist specializing in eating, I have developed an 8-week course called Hunger Balance that works at the root of the problem. Our therapeutic approach will release your mind from the craving state, break your emotional dependence on food, and make it easy to make healthy choices. Listeners of The Kim Pagano Show get $100 off when you register for a course. Call us at 818-836-4600 or visit us at centerforeatingrecovery.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. What a delightful couple there, and I can't wait to go and see that over at the Rubicon. I hope that you called up and got some tickets. And again, our phone number here is 419-0008. You know what? I want to give a shout-out to Allison Ross and Center for Eating Recovery. If you have been battling anything, you know, one of those yo-yo diets, or you just want to finally break away and get healthy and, you know, stop having all those cravings, give Allison a call. Allison Ross at 818-836-4600. She's giving $100 off right now, and she's got an 8-week eating course. So release your mind from the craving state and overcome any of those dieting problems. So again, I'd love to give away something talking about releasing food, but how about Famous Dave's, a $25 gift certificate to Famous Dave's, one of my favorites. And of course, everything that I have on my show is my favorite. That's what it's all about, is if you can't talk about it and be authentic about it, don't do it. And that's kind of something that I've always really wanted to be on my show. And so again, I love their ribs and a lot of their stuff that they have there. Another one of my favorites is Paul Martin's, and I've got another gift certificate for that. So another $25 Paul Martin's gift certificate. So again, our phone number right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. Our next guest, Pamela Blair, and her If You Could Ever Getting Older Better, I love the name on that. And the best advice ever on money, health, creativity, sex, work, retirement, and more. Those are all the things that we talk about here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Pamela, are you there?
Yes, and I'd like one of those gift certificates.
There you go. All you have to do is call in, 419-0008. Thank you so much.
Unfortunately or fortunately, I live in Vermont, so I can't get out there.
I know. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and is this your first book?
No, my first book was called I Wasn't Ready to Say Goodbye, which got national attention when 9/11 occurred, the book on sudden death, and it continued to sell worldwide since then. It's actually a bestseller.
Wow.
In grief. So that one I'm very, very proud of. And I'm also proud of The Next 50 Years, which was the next book after that, which deals with women 50 and over. And Getting Older Better is just the follow-on to that and an update.
Wow. Pamela, you'll have to send me the other two books. I'd love to have you back because they just make so much sense to, you know, what we're going through in all of our lives, you know?
Yeah. My husband said to me the other day, why don't you write something on a topic more cheerful other than death and getting older? But you know what? Getting older doesn't have to be depressing. So
right.
That's why I write about it.
Well, and why did you write this book? And is this just for women?
Yeah, this book is primarily for women, although men have shown up to my workshops and book signings, so they're curious too. They may be curious to find out what women are going through as they age, but I wrote it really for women. And in fact, in the San Diego area, they're starting support groups based on Getting Older Better and getting women together. So
I love it. I actually have a women's support group, and I do think that as women, as really as men too, men just don't share as much. But women, we do need a support. If you've already gone through something in your life and, you know, you can make it easier on somebody else, gosh, why not, right?
Well, you know, Kim, that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, okay? Getting back to your initial question, is there was a day when I woke up, I was about 15 years ago, and I had just read an article in the New York Times that said we had the possibility of living to 125. So I was getting in the shower. I got in the shower. I'm shampooing my hair, and I thought, with horror, what is 125 going to look like, and how am I ever going to get there in terms of health and attitude and everything like that? That's when I began, in my mind at least, writing the books that I write for women, okay? And then I began talking with women who were aging successfully and some who weren't, and gathering information from all over the place, including some famous people who were willing to share.
And so, Pamela, in your book, you actually, it's really a book that is 100 short essays, right?
Yeah, because, you know, basically, we don't all have time to always sit down and read an entire book at one sitting. But you can read one essay at a time and get something from it, and then go on and, you know, do a load of laundry.
Right.
Or not.
Right. But I love that because you're absolutely right. I mean, at least for me, I'm not one. I have to say it either really has to, like, grab me but I have so many things going on. Who has time to keep reading? And then you kind of start all over. So I love that it's just these, you know, little essays.
Right. One of my women clients said to me, you know, this is the one I take in the bathroom with me.
This is a woman's bathroom book then. There you go. I love it. How the men have their bathroom books, right? Yeah. Now, anyway. You know, I'm looking in here and I'm looking at one that you have here, an attitude of gratitude. Really, that's just has my name written all over it.
Yeah.
And I just want to read the image in your mirror. May be a little disappointing, but if you are still functioning and not in pain, gratitude should be the name of the game. Love that. And that's by Betty White, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And talk about aging beautifully and gracefully. She's done a good job of that.
Gosh, she has. I mean, she just got back on TV, and how old is she, right?
Oh, she's well into her 80s and maybe 90 at this point. I've lost track of her because she doesn't really seem her age.
Yeah, she's kind of like one of those people that just go on and on and on, right?
Well, you know what? Part of her appeal to me, anyway, is that her attitude. And rather than my book being just ploddingly about, you know, diet and exercise, blah, 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 you can read that a million other places. I wanted women to develop a new kind of attitude about aging and to healthfully embrace the naturally occurring changes, you know, the physical, the mental, the social changes. But what isn't normal, you know, and doctors are overlooking this, is are women who are in withdrawal or they're becoming apathetic or moody or agitated. And those are not normal parts of aging. And so, and we can have some control over that with a change in attitude and a change in making better choices. I believe that loneliness is a choice.
I love that. So great. I mean, that was perfect. You're absolutely right. And so well said. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we're talking with Pamela Blair. We're talking about her book, Getting Older Better. How'd you come up with that name, Getting Older Better?
Well, actually, my publisher came up with that name, and I was jumping around when they came up with it.
Yeah.
I love the title. But because they did, with that title, they captured what I was trying to get women to hear, is that we're going to get older. There's no control over that. But we can do it just a little bit better, and our quality of life can change. And with that, attitude is so important. In fact, a positive attitude about aging can add years to your life. A negative attitude, and this one is really scary for me, it can actually affect your hearing, and they did some studies. I think
really?
It was at some big university.
Wow.
That if you have a negative attitude and you just assume that you're going to, you know, not hear well, your body listens.
Wow. You know what? I do want to give something out. We always like to give back, and I don't mean to do it in the middle of your interview, but I do want to just keep giving out our phone number here, 419-0008. I've got a pair of VIP chocolate lounge tickets to the Champagne on Main, and it's a spring wine walk and street fair, and that's April 18th Saturday, so we've got tickets to that. And also we've got the 40th Caneo Valley Home Remodeling and Gourmet. Could you put anything two to better together? Home Remodeling and Gourmet Truck, Food Truck, and that's April 18th and 19th, and that's over at the Westside Hyatt. I've got tickets for that. So give us a call, and also if you love what we're talking about here, give us a call, 419-0008. And again, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I do want to remind you, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and then we've got another show from 2 to 3, and all of them have, like, these amazing guests on them. That's what anything that I love or that I like to talk about, that's kind of where we go. And so, you know, I love that you've taken into kind of some consideration of aging well. And I'm a hair therapist, and I really like that, you know, if you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you do good.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's something that so many of us, sometimes we don't put our best, you know, foot forward. We don't take the moment to put makeup on. We don't get our hair done. We don't take a moment to, you know, walk or even do something to make it better in life.
It doesn't require a whole lot.
No.
From what you're saying. And I remember my grandmother. She wouldn't go out to the mailbox without her lipstick on.
My grandma, you know, too. You're absolutely right.
Small example. My mother would go try to swim each day, but she wouldn't leave the house without her earrings. So she was always in the pool.
Right.
with her bathing suit and earrings on. There is a, we're not all beautiful. And but we can all be beautiful inside as well. And so sharing ourselves with other people can even make us more beautiful.
You know, Pamela, I'm going to actually you said that we're not all beautiful. I feel like we are all beautiful. We beauty is within. And, you know, we all have to, so many of us, I mean, and that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about here, even on our recovery show, is sometimes we don't feel beautiful, but we are our own gift. Everybody has a gift and a beauty within them. They might think, oh, that girl's, you know, prettier, or that guy's better looking, but we all have, I mean, we're all perfect the way we came out here. Don't you agree?
There's something shining within us that we can polish.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, no, I like that. Okay.
When you feel polished, you can feel better about yourself, and there's nothing more alluring than a woman who walks into a room and knowing who she is and feeling good about herself.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's the shine from within that you're talking about.
There you go. Yeah.
I agree.
Now, I know, you know, when you were writing this, did you have like a mentor or an inspiration for aging well?
Yeah, my grandmother.
It was your grandmother. Mine too. Mine too.
Yeah. My grandmother died at 102.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was supposed to have been on the Titanic coming over from Sweden. And her father was a captain with the White Star Line and had given her a ticket to come over here and meet up with her boyfriend who had already immigrated. And she and her boyfriend had an argument, so she didn't get on the Titanic. She got on the next ship. The Miantic.
Oh my gosh, what a story.
What a story.
Yeah.
So, and in a safe deposit box, we have the ticket.
Hmm.
Didn't use.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's great. So question, is this book, did you do your own research or how did you, get all these different stories?
I did a lot of my own research talking to women across the nation. And then I culled every piece of literature I could get my hands on about women who had said something inspirational about aging. And so each of the small essays starts with an inspirational quote from someone, either someone in reality who I talked to on the phone or through email or from literature. I wanted to make sure all the quotes in the book were from women.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. And so how did you start to put your first book together?
That first book, I wasn't ready to say goodbye. That one.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Yes. And who was that about?
Oh, that wasn't about a particular person. I wasn't ready to say goodbye is surviving, coping, and healing after the sudden death of a loved one. And like I said, that came out a year before 9/11, and then it shot to, it became famous after that.
But why would you write that book? Was that something that you were going through?
Yes, I had lost a former husband to a sudden death, and my co-author, it's a co-authored book, had lost her brother to sudden death, and neither one of us could find something on sudden death in the bookstore or the library, so we decided to write this book.
Wow. How long did it take you?
It took about a year of after we got the material together to really solidify it. And a publisher bought it right away.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. You know, I'm actually, one of my daughters is due with twins, and I'm looking at one of the stories in here, You Don't Look Like a Grandma, And I just wanted to read that. There are more grandmothers alive today than any other time in the history of the world. However, today's grandmother doesn't look like a grandmother, right? I mean, so I love that. And that's by Louis Wise, right?
Louis Wise. Yes.
You know,
I'm out with my grandson sometimes, and he's 23 years old. And we go into a supermarket or a restaurant, and people say, oh, your son, isn't he a darling?
That's great. So what are we going to find in the book? When you've interviewed all these different people, what has your research really taught you, and what are we going to find?
hopefully the bottom line of this book and what it promises to do for you is to make you more hopeful about the aging process, what joys it can bring, what challenges it can bring that can be addressed, and then to make you mindful of your effect on future generations, because they're watching us. We're the first generation to reach these older ages in this country. At the turn of the century, you were dead before menopause. A lot of women were, okay? Average age of death was 47 to, 50. So we're getting these bonus years. And I want my daughter and the younger women coming up behind us to not be so fearful.
That's a great message. Let me ask you, if you talk about the best advice ever, money, what's your best advice on money?
To get some good advice from somebody other than yourself.
That's very good. I like that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And to realize that as you age, you don't need to spend as much. Okay. If you want to, then you that's fine. But I don't need any more sweaters.
Isn't that the truth? It's kind of like you, in your younger age, you're collecting, mm-hmm. and then in your older age, you're starting to simplify. It's kind of a funny thing.
You spend the first 50 years of your life accumulating, and the second 50 trying to get rid of it all.
Yeah. How does that? Yeah. I that's crazy, but it kind of makes sense, you know. What about health?
What about health? Again, there's an attitude that we can take in terms of our health, and that is to combat loneliness, which is a killer, by the way. You need to have easy access and regular access to loving companionship, friends, young children, family, pets. Not allow your caregivers or children to make you feel like you can't do stuff. And that's a real killer.
Yeah.
And then maintaining your heart health has to do. There was a study involving about 250,000 people, and they found that anxiety was associated with almost a 30% increase in coronary heart disease. Okay. So we've got to limit our stress, make sure that we're surrounded by people who are good to us and care about us, be active in the community. Support one another.
Oh, so I love that. Creativity.
Oh, creativity. Now that's, people get worried that creativity means, you've got to write an opera or the next great American novel or something. But there's small C creativity, which is making sure that your table is set beautifully, even if you're setting it for one. Putting some flowers in the vase.
I love that. That was my grandmother,
That your grandmother?
Yeah, and yeah. I do the same thing. If I'm going to have a party, why not do it your best?
Yeah. Do it for yourself. Have a party for yourself.
There you go. I love it. Sex.
Sex. Well, sex is a choice, hopefully, for most women. And a good 50% of the women I spoke to aren't really, driven to have it.
Okay.
And the other 50% want to have sex until they're in the ground. So there's
But I like how you put that, driven. It's not, it's interesting because when you're young, you think sex is, something that organically happens, right? It's mm-hmm. almost like, I don't want to break it to my listeners, but it's almost like another workout, right? Is that true? What's your thought on it?
Well, one of the things is if you're not motivated, okay, sometimes, and if you have a willing partner, sometimes if you just get started, it can start to feel really good, right? But no one should have sex when they don't want to, number one. And number two, if it's painful or uncomfortable, your gynecologist can certainly help you with that because there are physical changes that happen for women.
There you go.
That can make it uncomfortable, yeah.
Great. Another great thing. Work.
Work or not. I think some of us have to keep working. I'm fortunate I don't have to keep working, but I enjoy it. and it keeps me getting, you know, up in the morning, putting on some nice clothes and the lipstick and the whole thing.
Right. I want to add to that. Work doing something that you're passionate about, right? Well, I mean, mm-hmm. make sure you love what you're doing.
You know, even the cash register here, the cashier here, rather, at the local supermarket, I think she's some kind of healer or something, because there's every time you go in there, she looks you right in the eye and she says, "I really hope you have a good day."
Oh, I love it. I love
it.
You
know, and so you can be a cashier or you can be a scientist and still make a difference in people's lives.
Wow. And our last one, but we'll have to have you back. We're at the end of our show, retirement.
Retirement, that can bring up some fear in people.
Thinking that it's over, but it's really not. It's just another chapter in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Mm-hmm. Pamela Blair, where do we find your book?
It's readily available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, places like that. And bookstores are starting to carry it on a regular basis. So ask around. It's available.
I love it. I think everybody should read it. I think it's just got some real great inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Life. Love to have you back.
Okay, enjoy.
All right, getting
Bye-bye.
Older, better. We are at the end of our show, and that is this show, but of course we have our 2 to 3. And thank you so much for joining us. Again, our phone number, 419-0008. I love hearing from all of our listeners out there, and I hope that what we talked about today gives you something to think about and kind of, you know, to me it's like school on air. I always say that. So again, I do want to invite everybody to our cruise, and definitely call me about that, because I'd love to meet all of you and to have you go with us. That's September 17th through the 21st. And again, we want to end our show with a moment of happiness. You can tell how smart people are by what they laugh at. With that, you have been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by.
DeWalt Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With 2 residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and 2 partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.